Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Regional Roundup with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent with the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, time now to turn our attention to around the region. And since the COVID-19 outbreak, you've got politics, economics, and these are, you know, two of the biggest subjects that have been thrust even more into the spotlight. And all this as governments try to weather the economic fallout from the coronavirus. Well, this week around the region, no different. You've got some across Southeast Asia slowly starting to recover. Unfortunately, others are still in the thick of the pandemic as well. Let's get a sense of what's going on and the latest news making the headlines around Southeast Asia with Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Leslie, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Not too bad, sir. Not too bad. It's a busy couple of days. Friday's going to be quite exciting. But let's start off as always in Malaysia. You've got the opposition coalition Pakatan Harapan. I remember reading this a couple of days back. They've reaffirmed PKR President Anwar Ibrahim as its prime minister candidate. But they have also conceded that it would need to continue talks with other parties, including compromise candidate Shafi Abdal, in order to return to power. How do you look at this, Leslie? Like a small win for Anwar in that sense?
Well, I reckon it is a small victory that, you know, the block of 90-odd members of parliament in Pakatan Harapan are still united in their support to Anwar. But as we know, it will never be enough to claim majority to form the government, which is why he needs to, you know, keep the channels open with the likes of Shafi Abdal from Sabah, who is also the chief minister there and the head of the Warisan Party. Mm. I think one thing is clear. Dr. Mahathir's machinations, you know, to try and still be the opposition leader has failed. And they have failed. And the parties such as DAP and Amanah have now fallen behind Anwar. I guess that shows that the opposition remains a cohesive force. The current government of Prime Minister Muhyiddin is still a partnership of convenience, and this could fall fairly easily if he fails to keep his partners happy. So, you know, we're still in this uncharted waters.
Yeah, indeed. Speaking of uncharted waters, this next one is a more economics question. Malaysia cutting its benchmark interest rate to its lowest level on record. So what they want to do really is to try and support the reopening of the economy. You've got, you know, a lot of unemployment. You've got the threat of recession. Difficult to say whether the worst has passed for Malaysia. Do you think there is any indication or possibility of another interest rate cut later this year?
Yes, the central bank, you know, cut the overnight rate by 25 basis points to 1.75%. That's the lowest rate, lower than the 2% rate that in 2009. And I think it shows the growing concern about the persistent weaknesses in the economy, even after the lockdown was lifted, and the phase, and also the phased economic opening has not helped the activity to bounce back as quickly as policymakers would have wanted. I guess this cut is just simply a use of policy tools to try and accelerate the pace of activity. And if the sluggishness persists, we can see another round of cuts of, say, another 25 basis points in September. So no one's ruling that out.
Wow, that is the world we live in these days. Here's a guy that whose story you followed quite closely, fugitive Malaysian financier Joe Loh.
Yeah.
So he's accused of embezzling billions of dollars from 1MDB. We know this. But apparently he's embarked on a multi-million dollar public relations offensive. He's hired an army of lawyers and PR advisors over the past 2 years. I mean, how come this information has suddenly come out, and what on earth is this PR campaign for?
Well, there's no secret of this PR campaign or in this legal team. See, they've been making statements on his behalf to the media at, you know, at each turn of every development, including the settlement over the civil asset forfeiture with the DOJ last year. I guess, you know, these statements have been around him professing his innocence and repeatedly highlighting that his settlement was made without any admission of guilt. Right. So, you know, it's kind of typical in these cases. As for how these details have come to light, it's largely because PR firms, legal firms, must make filings, offshore filings, on how these persons of interest with the law are funding their legal and PR campaigns.
Actually. Okay.
So that's very much how. It's rather the transparency in these kind of matters.
Well, I swear they really need to make a movie about him, man.
Yes.
Okay, let's head over to Indonesia. Unfortunately, they for the most number of COVID-19 infections in Southeast Asia, but they're opening up Bali to visitors this month. I mean, the island saw a fourfold rise in COVID-19 cases just last month. Lots of economies, and I think you've mentioned this before, you know, people are opening up because the economy is dying, because there's no choice. But this is definitely going to put tourists off, don't you think?
Well, you know, I think caution will rule. You know, the opening in Bali at the end of this month, especially after the sharp increase last month, is kind of worrying. But the opening also only applies to local tourists,
okay,
for beaches, temples, surfing spots. There is pressure, you know, like everywhere else in South Asia, for the tourism sector to reopen. You know, I think there's a kind of fatigue too on how governments are dealing with the pandemic, and which at the same time, you know, causing huge pain for the economy. So, so I think there will be many takers, I think, for this opening up, because, you know, you're going to see some great bargains out there to visit Bali for people who live in Indonesia. The big question is whether Indonesia can proceed as planned to open its doors to foreign visitors after the second week of September. Mm. For this to happen, you will need to keep the lid on infections and demonstrate that government measures to curb the spread of virus are effective. So this is going to be that major challenge. I think opening doors for local tourists is not a problem at this point, but getting the foreign tourists who spend the big dollars is going to be a challenge for the economy.
That's the real challenge. Final question for you, Leslie. Also a COVID-19 related question. You've got a resurgence of COVID-19 cases kind of derailing the Philippines' effort to restart their economy. It looks like that economy is headed for its deepest contraction in more than three decades. There's talk right now of another potential lockdown. Just yesterday we talked about a lockdown in Melbourne over in Australia. If they have had to do it, why can't the Philippines, or why not other countries, right? But can the Philippines really afford to do such a thing?
Well, you know, simply put, the economy can't afford it.
Mm.
The World Bank is estimating a contraction of 1.9%, but then private institutions such as HSBC sees the economy shrinking by 3.9%. That'd be the worst in decades. But you know, there's a toss-up. Infections and deaths are among the highest in the region. So, you know, the government has little choice but to reconsider lockdown. As we know, President Rodrigo Duterte eased the lockdown in Metro Manila, which was the epicenter on June 1st to bolster the economy. Then Cebu City was placed under state lockdown in June due to alarming increases. See, all of this uncertainty, you know, with these spikes in infection is making it almost impossible for the government to come up with a kind of clear roadmap to put the economy back on track.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a real challenge. So, you know, the prediction of that the economy can register its worst performance in decades is real, you know, and it's going to be testing for the Philippines.
I've been speaking with Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Leslie, thanks for your time. Take care and stay safe. Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Elliot. Take care.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.